This McIntyre in the Morning podcast is sponsored by Jason Hartman at Platinum Properties Investors Network. Are you getting a 30% return on your investments? Do this conservatively in real life. It's never too late to start planning for the secure future. Listen to Jason's free Creating Wealth podcast at jasonhartman.com.
Seven minutes after the hour of 8, Talk Radio 790 KBC on a Thursday morning, the 24th day of July. 800-222-KABC is the number. We're here until 9 o'clock this morning after Paul Harvey News, the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly, Al Rantel at 11. Hannity, Hannitizing Your Heads from noon to 3, The Sage from 3 to 7, then Al Rantel back from 7 to 10 p.m. That's what we do. Later on this hour, the great saxophonist Eric Marienthal. He's got his big event this weekend again. We do it every year, the High Hopes Foundation. And if we can get the tape up, we're going to use the George Stephanopoulos interview we played earlier today. If not, we'll do that tomorrow. But we're going to talk about desk rage in just a second. But at 10:30 Pacific time, Barack Obama will be speaking from Berlin. In a very unusual move for an American politician to essentially take the campaign overseas. With a preview, here is from the ABC News Foreign Desk in London, Linda Albin. Linda, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning. It puts me to mind of that song. Do you remember What Is This Thing Called Love?
You're not kidding.
What is this thing called Obamamania that is sweeping Europe?
Well, is it sweeping Europe? I mean, you know, when Jack Kennedy spoke there, or Ronald Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall," there was a sea of humanity, but they were president of the United States as opposed to a candidate for president of the United States.
Well, that's right, and I tell you, Obama's walking a very fine line here. He doesn't want to seem to be presumptuous, but he does want to seem to be presidential, which is what this is all about. Now, the conservative German Chancellor Angela Merkel sort of, slowed things down a little when she made it clear she would, frown on the idea of him using the Brandenburg Gate for his, quote, electioneering. And, of course, in fact, he is not going to make his speech there, but rather at the Victory Column. In fact, he was asked by some of the reporters going over on the plane if he thought he was going to be confronted by millions of screaming Germans, and he sort of said, "I think I need to tamp down expectations a little bit, you know, maybe some thousands." But, you know, he's very popular overseas, and you can say as an American, and fair enough, you know, he's running in the United States for the president of the United States, and I don't give a you-know-what about what Europeans want or think, but the bottom line is he is popular here in the UK, where he's going to be on Saturday, in Germany, where he is today, and speaking, as you point out, in just a couple of hours from now, and in France tomorrow night.
Now, there's a very funny quote from Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. She was asked at a news conference on Wednesday what she thought of Obama, and she said, "I would say that he is well-equipped physically, mentally, and politically." And I wonder, Linda, exactly how well did she get to know Barack Obama?
That's a very good question. I hadn't heard that one. I'd like to know the answer to that question.
I know.
I'm going to be the one to delve and find out.
I mean, if the campaign plane is a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'.
You know, excuse me, but they were discussing things like Iran's nuclear program, after all.
I know, but we know where the missile silo was, apparently. So, anyway, this is going to be quite an event, and it's really unprecedented. I can't think anywhere in American campaign history where a candidate took the campaign literally overseas.
And don't you think it was really clever?
Well, sure. In terms of if the perceived weakness that Obama has is in foreign affairs, the picture images are a stunning success. If you actually analyze, I personally think that he tripped in his. A trip, no pun intended, and perhaps none made, when he had an interview with our colleague Terry Moran on Nightline and said that he would vote again against the surge and denied that the surge had worked. I think that he really blundered there and handed McCain a golden opportunity that can be taken. But people are blowing past it because the pictures are so great.
Well, I think you make this is about image, after all. And, I'm watching right now BBC News 24, 24-hour, cable channel. I'm watching Sky. I'm monitoring all of it. And right now, there's Steve Rosenberg out of Germany. Barack Obama wants to restore transatlantic ties. They're covering the speech live. It's giving him the platform that he sought. And it is all about that. It almost doesn't matter what he says unless he says, as you said he trips badly on this trip. He came close when he started talking about a divided, undivided Jerusalem, but he seemed to have recovered. And as you say, McCain really should have – it was up to McCain to really capitalize on the issue.
Yeah, but nobody's even paying attention. It's like McCain's, you know, opening up a Hickory Farm store at a mall somewhere, and there's like a guy with a Polaroid camera. I mean, it's like they're this is, I guess, going to be debate material because there's no question that that issue will come back up. And his response to the fact that General Petraeus said, look, you can't take the troops out of here and you can't announce 16 months. What if in 15 months we still have a problem on our hands? So I believe that issue will come back.
At the end of the day, it is a campaign. People say what they say. And at the end of the day, every president's hands are tied and have been tied by all kinds of constraints. From political to lobbies, their own parties, and whatever. And I think that's what's sort of interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people are impressed by Obama. I understand why they're impressed by Obama. I think at some point people will inject a certain level of reality into this and get past the ideal that everybody is seeing and seeking and imbuing one man with. It's got to be tough. I'm not sure I would really want to be Barack.
Well, he
Obama,
does have to be careful that the Obama mania doesn't, because America has a way of getting sick of people and burning out. It's like, you know, the movie that has too much hype about it, and then when you see it, you're disappointed, not because of any flaw of the movie, just because there was talked about too much, and he runs a risk of that. Linda, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Linda Albin, ABC News Foreign Desk. So 800-222-KBC, we all know about road rage. But what about desk rage? And there's a bunch of studies out that suggest that the level of, I'm not talking about when the guy comes in the camo fatigues and empties a clip into the accounting department. And I'm not suggesting that that would happen here, by the way, although we did have a near incident in our office the other day. But that's, we won't mention any names, will we, Nathan Baker? But we did have an ugly incident here yesterday when John Phillips, the producer of the program and the beloved sports princess of morning radio, for some reason came in like a nut and hurled a cylinder of sugar at me.
Well, thank God he throws like he drives, because had no danger of
That's
hitting
right.
it at all.
This high arc lob.
The wrist went limp at the wrong time.
It just kind of sailed up here. Girls softball team. Mm-hmm. And hit the roof, and we had a shower of sugar coming down upon us, and the studio was still granular. But I don't know what prompted it. He just came in cackling out of context and hurled this at us. But you've all got that guy that's two cubicles down or that woman who's in the office who just bites your head off. And we're not talking about we could be talking about violence. 2-3% of American workers admit to pushing, slapping, or hitting someone at work.
Mm-hmm.
2-3%. Pushing, slapping, hitting someone at work. That adds up to, with 100 million workers, as many as 3 million people. 3 million people getting whacked at work.
I think everybody's experienced something, if not even just by being
Have
witness.
You been hit at work?
No, but I've experienced fist fights at work. That's pretty violent.
Yeah, that would qualify. Yeah. Sure. Take it out in the loading dock and settle it like a...
Oh, yeah.
Like a Max in Northridge. Max, welcome to KBC. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Doug. Hi, guys. You know, there is a couple of indications that will tell you whether or not you're working at a violent workplace.
What's that, Max?
Well, for instance, if your office place celebrates Scar Tissue Awareness Week.
Oh, yeah, if there's a flyer on the men's room door.
That's a good sign. Mm-hmm.
That is a good sign.
That could be a clue.
Yeah.
If when you're hired, your orientation kit includes a Hitler bobblehead.
Yeah, not a good indication.
This is not good.
No.
And finally, if any of the vending machines at work offer prosthetics.
You know, that's true.
Another clue.
When you're going and say, hey, anybody got change for a five? I need a new leg.
I just thought I'd share that, Doug.
Well, thank you, Max. We appreciate it. You always got our back, usually with a knife in it, but... Nonetheless, at least he has our
back. Max got right into the spirit.
He did.
Right.
It's 17 minutes after the hour of 8. Okay, so here's the deal. Earlier today, we talked to our colleague George Stephanopoulos, who hosts This Week. And we do that every Thursday. And we're talking about Obama mania, and we're talking about the trip. And this is part of the narrative of, is the media in love with Barack Obama? And does Barack Obama get covered the way a normal candidate gets covered, or does he have some kind of special dispensation? I want to play you our interview with George Stephanopoulos from earlier this morning and let you decide. 800-222-KBC, Talk Radio 790-KBC.
The first rule of communication is to make yourself very clear. 790-KABC, now broadcasting in high definition.
KABC is the number. It is 23 minutes after the hour of 8. After Parvey News, the radio factor with Bill O'Reilly. Al Rantel at 11. Hannity at noon. The Sage from South Central from 3 to 7. And Al's back tonight from 7 to 10. Dodgers are off today, travel day. They're going to play the Nationals next up next for a three-game set. So we got a lot going on. Hopefully tomorrow we're going to have one of the family members of Danielle Bologna, if not Danielle herself, to talk to us about the horrible atrocity that took place up in San Francisco. Her husband and two boys were killed by an illegal alien gangbanger who gunned them down in broad daylight coming home from a barbecue. And again, it's the sanctuary city policies of another California city. It was Jamil Shaw II down here.
And again, it's a known felon, too.
Absolutely. You know, guy that they had in jail
Not some choir boy.
So we're going to talk about that tomorrow in addition to all the other craziness, including Obama fever, which continues today. It's in Berlin. Barack Obama is going to speak. Earlier today, we spoke with George Stephanopoulos, as we do each and every Thursday. And we were talking about how Obama's trip has been going from George's perspective, whether it's been a success or a failure. Now, I'm putting this into the context of, is Obama getting an extra special kind of a pass from the media in his campaign? I want you to hear the interview, and then we'll talk about it. Go ahead. This is from earlier in today's show. So, George, obviously Barack Obama left Israel yesterday. He's going to Germany today. Shades of JFK, shades of Ronald Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Picture-wise, I think the trip has been a great success for Senator Obama. But on substance, what score do you give him?
Oh, I think it's, A-minus, B-plus at the worst. He hasn't made any major errors at all. He's managed to get through two war zones and the thicket of the Middle East peace process, again, without making any major errors. He also saw events just sort of conspire to give him a successful trip as well. We've all seen the Iraqi prime minister and his spokesperson basically endorsing the Obama position on timelines. You even saw President Bush call for a time horizon on bringing troops out. You see John McCain move in his direction on calling for more troops in Afghanistan. You even have the Bush administration going into direct face-to-face talks with the Iranians. This blurring of the lines on the substance of foreign policy can only help Obama, to the extent that there's not a large contrast, a large gap between the two candidates and the two parties on these issues. It helps him because he has such an advantage on all of the other domestic issues. Also, I think the fact that he was able to make it through this trip so far, at least, without any major errors on substance, will help quell any doubts voters might have about whether he can handle the job. You combine that with the pictures of him in a helicopter with General Petraeus, meeting with all of the very foreign leaders, mingling with the enlisted troops, even hitting that three-pointer in Kuwait, and it all adds up to a very successful trip for Obama.
We're talking with George Stephanopoulos, of course, host of This Week. I think he actually did make a major mistake on substance, although I agree with your evaluation that overall it's been a very successful trip. I think his interview with Terry Moran on Nightline on substance was very disturbing, really, because he seems to have dug his heels in.
I mean, I agree. He should just admit it. I think Terry was right to question him on it. He should just admit the surge worked.
Yeah, but by refusing to admit that the surge worked, what we essentially have is a guy who could very well be the commander-in-chief of all U.S. forces saying that he would vote again against the surge that has saved the lives of hundreds of American servicemen and women and countless thousands of Iraqi civilians, and just insisting that he would vote against it again. And I don't know what possible benefit he gets by digging his heels in on that position.
He doesn't quite insist that. He simply says that we don't know what would have happened had my policy been followed. But to not simply say, you know what, it's worked, and I'm glad. I think has hurt him.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up, George, is exactly one of the many reasons that Obama has appealed to people is that he has positioned himself as the unpolitician in the sense that he's not dogmatic about things like that. That he is, you know, he's all about saying, well, I'm not going to be somebody who just digs his heels in. And yet on this particular question, he did it very successfully during one of the debates when Senator Clinton was trying to pin him into the corner on whether he condemned or repudiated, I forget the exact adjectives, Jeremiah Wright. And Senator Obama ended it by just saying, all right, if you prefer the word condemn, then I condemn it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But
you see, here he was behaving like kind of an old school politician who had staked out a position and refused to back off it, even when the whole world is saying, come on, it clearly worked.
Looking too stubborn. And I think to the extent he's had a problem on this trip, and I think it's been a relatively minor problem, I think there were times where he came off a bit arrogant, a little presumptuous. You know, when he said he'd be dealing with these leaders for the next 8 to 10 years, when he said he had no doubts that he would be a good president and win the presidency. You see, he's tempered that in the last couple of days.
Well, that was the part and parcel, prominent parts of the interview. And again, we ask you when we talk about the media coverage, and we've had national journalists say it's hard to stay objective when you're in the aura. You catch the aura of Obama fever. It's contagious. And the famous Chris Matthews, I got a tingly feeling in my leg. And the reason I bring that up is because we started out with George telling us that Barack Obama went through this trip without any major errors on substance. And then I pointed out, but what about the fact that he told Nightline that he would vote again against the surge when the surge has saved hundreds, if not thousands, of lives? And the fact that, yes, he was in the helicopter with General David Petraeus, but General David Petraeus was saying, you gotta back off this 16-month timetable. And then the whole idea that, again, errors on substance. Well, what about that statement and the presumptuousness of saying, I'll be talking to these leaders for the next 8 to 10 years? I'll tell you right now, if George Bush had ever said that he would be president for 10 years, okay, because last time I checked, two terms is 8 years, unless he's going to undo the constitutional amendment, mm-hmm. and we're going to go FDR here. These are mistakes. And by the way, they're not fatal mistakes. And I'm not saying this to try to tear down Barack Obama, because, as you know, I McCain is hardly somebody that whips me into a frenzy of enthusiasm. I'm just talking about objectively looking at it. If we're covering a campaign, let's be truthful. These were mistakes, substantive mistakes. Did anybody pay attention? That's up to the country. Will McCain be able to exploit it in a debate? That's up to him. But when we get past the superficiality of the pictures, which is a carefully constructed photo op that all campaigns, including Bush, do, and remember Bush with the photo op in front of the Coast Guard helicopters while Katrina was flooding New Orleans and the helicopters were on the ground behind him for the as set dressing, they all do this. So Obama's not committing some egregious sin by doing that. But we should at least be saying what is said. Substantively, he meets, as Larry pointed out on the Sages show yesterday, Obama met with tribal leaders in Iraq, and the tribal leader said, leave the Marines. Don't take the Marines out of here. So the headline should be, tribal leaders warn Barack Obama, don't remove Marine Corps from Iraq. That's the headline. You know, not Barack Obama turns his attention to peace. The headline is, the tribal leaders, he met with the tribal leaders, and the tribal leader said, you can't take the Marines out of here. So, you know, who writes the headlines? Who writes the stories? 800-222-KABC. We're at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Ari Marenthal joins us. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, time for the news.
Sorry, excuse
that's,
me.
That's all right,
I
yes.
Old school.
All right.
Now with the news, here's NASCAR Marenko and Deborah Moore.
Oh, that's very funny. The king of the world is in Germany. I'm sorry, Barack Obama is in Germany. The presidential candidate meets with the German Chancellor Angela Merkel today and is to deliver a pretty big address here coming up in the next hour or so.
Hundreds of farm workers have rallied in Sacramento. They got together yesterday to support a proposed $9.3 billion bond that would shore up the state's water supplies. The lack of water has, in some cases, forced farmers to abandon their fields.
You're feeding the world and you're working hard, but our water system is not anymore working for you.
That, of course, was our governor.
Are you sure that was our governor?
That was our governor.
I'm working, you're working to grow the cabbage.
He's supporting the plan. Pakistan wants to upgrade its fighter jets, and the U.S. State Department is trying to help. It's asking Congress to let it use two-thirds of the money proposed for anti-terrorism programs for Pakistan to upgrade aging warplanes.
Well, the weak dollar apparently hasn't crushed the travel bug. A survey from Visa says two-thirds of respondents say they're at least as willing to travel abroad as they were a year ago.
And the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says that several small pickups do not do much to protect drivers and passengers in side crashes. Models of the Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon that don't have side airbags have earned the Institute's lowest rating. The ABC 7 forecast, it's going to be another hot one today. Lots of sunshine, temps pretty much in the 90s, lows 50s and 60s, and warmer tomorrow. Brought to you by your Southern California BMW centers. Through September 2nd, financing up to 36 months starts at 2.9%. Certified pre-owned 05 BMW models and 3.9% pre-owned 06 models. Select models excluded, SoCalBMW.com. Talk Radio 790 KABC is your official 2008 election station. I'm Deborah Mark in the KABC News Center.
Okay, that bell means it's time for sports, and here is the sports princess, John Phillips.
All right, Doug. Motor racing boss Max Mosley won an invasion of privacy suit against a tabloid newspaper that claimed he took part in a sadomasochistic orgy with a Nazi theme. The 68-year-old Mosley has acknowledged he participated in an encounter with sex workers at a basement apartment in London, but says it was private and there were no Nazi overtones. The Anaheim Angels had an offensive explosion on the Cleveland Indians yesterday afternoon, beating the Tribe 14-11. The Halos are now 10 games ahead of the Oakland A's in the AL West. Meanwhile, in Colorado, the Dodger bats were chilled by the Rockies. Here to explain is KABC's own Josh Sushan.
On a getaway day in Denver, it was the rubber game of a three-game series against the Rockies, and the Dodgers were in need of better pitching. They gave up 20 runs in the first two games of the series. Down by a run in the second inning, backup catcher Danny Ardois provided an unexpected offensive spark.
Glendon Rush ready in the 1-1 pitch. Fastball shot up the middle for a base hit. Here comes LaRoche to tie it up.
But the Rockies answered with three straight extra base hits to start the third inning, including this one by Brad Hopp.
Kuroda ready, it's delivered, and it is whacked to right. Kemp goes back, reaches up, can't get it. Here comes Holiday to third. They will wave him in. Jeff Kent is going to throw to third, with holding at second is Hopp.
Rockies hold on for a 5-3 victory. The Dodgers are off on Thursday, then return home on Friday to face the Washington Nationals. Reporting from Denver, I'm Josh Sushan on the home of the Dodgers, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And Doug, coverage for tomorrow night's game begins at 7 o'clock at night.
Okay, that's a look at sports. Let's go check traffic. Here is, as opposed to 7 in the morning, not starting tomorrow at 7 a.m. Huh? Okay, let's go check traffic. Here is Captain Jorge Harim.
That's right. All right. And right now, folks, we got a problem not far from Dodger Stadium.
It's like we're in the same room with you. Scary. 790 KABC, now broadcasting in high definition.
Talk Radio 790 KBC. That's the great Eric Marienthal, a two-part invention. And D minor, Eric is one of the great saxophone players, and you've heard him many, many times on all kinds of his own records and everybody else's. And we have him on every year because the High Hopes head injury program, which is based here in Southern California, does such terrific work. They have a big fundraiser every year. And it's that time of year again. And welcome back to the show, Eric Marienthal and Mark Desmond. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Doug.
It's good to have you on the show again. And what a show you guys got coming up. Now, Mark, before we even get into Eric and the concert, which is this weekend, tell us a little bit about this great organization, the High Hopes Foundation.
Oh, I'd love to. High Hopes, we're the first brain injury program in the country. And what we do here is help traumatic brain injuries recover from car accidents. A good example is you probably heard about the young ladies that were hit by a drunk driver in Dana Point, not too long ago is on the national news, and one of the young ladies is with us, and just last week she started taking steps for the first time, and she has a brain injury and a spinal cord injury. So
and, you know, we've all seen this, you know, the traumatic brain injuries that have been our servicemen and women have been subjected to in Iraq, and how devastating this is, and how incredibly time-consuming and labor-intensive it is to make the road to recovery back from a brain injury.
Oh, yes, and the we don't give up on anybody. The odds are that the person can't recover, but we've seen a lot of miracles here at High Hopes, and we've been fortunate to help thousands of people over the years.
And this is the 10th anniversary, and Eric, you have been associated with this fine program, and you use your musical talents and your musical connections to bring in some fabulous people, and this event is great. This Sunday, July 27th, tell them about the show.
Yeah, it's been an honor to be able to put these concerts on and to be able to help such a worthy cause. This Sunday at the Hyatt Regency Newport Beach, we have, well, some good friends of yours. Actually, the Gordon Goodwin Big Fat Band has donated their time, and they're going to be performing.
And that's a band that plays the theme music to this show. You hear it every top of every hour.
There you go. And the legendary Johnny Mathis is going to be there as well. So that's incredible. Debbie Boone and her sisters are going to be performing, and my band and I are going to play, and you never know who's going to show up on these things. So it's a great time every year. We just have a great time, and it's just, again, such a very worthy cause.
So get yourself some tickets. Is there a phone number?
There is indeed. It is 949-733-0044. And that puts you directly to High Hopes, and they can give you information and sell you as many tickets as you'd like to buy.
And just Google highhopes.ws. Go to the website or just Google them, High Hopes Foundation. Thanks so much for being with us. Good luck, as always. And I hope you raise a ton of dough. It's a great cause.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, 48 minutes after the hour of 8, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Okay, down the dinosaur I go. Tomorrow, more on Obamamania. He's in Germany today. We'll have that for you. Tony V news and more. Come on back.